Production support for Soundbites is made possible by listeners and by Coffee by Design, growing a business committed to community and sustainability locally and worldwide. CoffeeByDesign.com.
Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing, and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is brought to you by Frontier Studios and made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing Company, Frontier, The Press Hotel, Toad & Co., and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This week's stories were told live at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was Birthright. Here's today's host, Detroit-based storyteller Dame Wilburn.
Put your hands together and welcome our first storyteller, Kevin Gallagher.
When I graduated from college, I was unbelievably amazed at how mature I had become in only 4 short years. Couple that with having achieved amazing brilliance during the same time. I sort of think now, in hindsight, that I was probably not the first newly minted graduate to actually have that self-perception. My mother, however, was a bit dubious of my maturity and intelligence, being I was the oldest, firstborn, in an Irish Catholic family, that's like the equivalent of God, and the only boy. But she was a little confused that I would graduate magna cum laude from Tufts and decide to move home and to live with her and resume my summer job that I had had for the past 3 summers as a bank teller. And her lack of confidence in me sort of manifested itself in some, what I would say, were rather draconian measures, like I had to pay rent at my own house and had to contribute to groceries, all because I now have a job. But it did seem, you know, you do what you have to do, but it did seem kind of ridiculous. But now you can tell from my gray hair that I existed before Obamacare. So I was running out of health insurance at the end of the month in which I graduated. So now being so much more mature and intelligent, I went to the HR department of the bank and I signed up, I enrolled for my own health insurance, you know, further paving the path to my independence and autonomy. And on May 31st, while I was at the teller line, my bank manager came out about 4 o'clock and he said, "So Kevin, there's been a little snafu with your insurance. I'm not quite sure I understood it, but if you need me to find out, I will. But the upshot is that your insurance won't start at midnight tonight. It will start at midnight tomorrow night, June 1st. And I said, "Well, today's almost over. You know, I'm pretty sure I'll be alive tomorrow. So like, really, don't worry about it. I'll be okay." Yeah. So, I should mention that I wasn't terribly healthy in college either. I was about 50 pounds thinner than this, and my diet consisted of Tab. Does anyone remember Tab? And 3 packs a day of Merit's cigarettes. Yeah, health nut, real health nut. So a couple of things I decided to do with my new intellect is when I graduated, I said, I'm gonna start taking better care of myself, so instead of having salt and vinegar chips and a Tab in the morning, I would have Carnation instant breakfast. And then I started doing exercises after work at the end of the day. Those things I instituted right away. Well, so on the night of May 31st, I had sort of like my stomach hurt, which I assumed was from 200 crunches in a body that never did exercise. And then when I went to bed, I had a little acid reflux, and I sort of thought, you know, well, that's mom's cooking. But at 7:15 in the morning, when she woke me up, she said, "Why are you not awake? You're going to be late for work." And I said, "I really feel awful." And of course, she does that mother thing where they take their magic hand, and they like can tell what's wrong with you just by feeling you. And she said, "We need to go to the hospital." She said, "You're on fire." So we go down to the ER, waited about an hour. Remember, it was the 80s, so things were faster then. And the doctor did a thorough examination and said, Kevin, so I think we have a little appendix that would like to leave your body today. And I said, really? I said, where is my appendix? And when he palpated the area, the next thing he did was get a spatula to scrape me off the ceiling because I could not believe the pain. And I said, oh my God, like, I said, how come that didn't hurt? Like, how come I had like a stomach ache and GERD? And he said, well, when pain is intense, it radiates around the body. And he said, that's why I want to get rid of this appendix as soon as possible. So they wheel me into a room, private room. I was kind of happy about that. And my first visitor came. I'm going to call him the Smiler. Hi, Kevin, I'll be your anesthesiologist. And we're just going to start you on a couple of medications to get you sort of relaxed and ready for the surgery. And I said, well, I'm feeling very relaxed. It's the morning. What am I so stressed about? But I'm the first one to not turn down drugs, good drugs, so, you know, go ahead. So he made a lovely cocktail of Dilaudid and Valium. And God, that turned out to be the best day. Best day. In fact, I haven't had a day that good, I think, since then. It was lovely. Little bit of drool, it was all okay. And so I'm laying in bed, and my next visitor comes, which I will call him the Shave Master. Now, I hope to God that this isn't this guy's only job at the hospital. But he said, my job is to shave around the area of the incision to ensure it's going to be sterile, because we want to avoid infection and those kinds of things. And I said, yeah, knock yourself out. I'm having a really good day. So I was just closing my eyes, and he was shaving away. And then he started shaving my testicles. And I was like, wait a minute, wait. I found out today that my appendix is right here. I said, how off are you going to be in this process? And he said, well, he likes a good perimeter. And I said, yeah, but like, is the appendix like a floating organ? Or it's hard to locate sometimes? So, well, clearly he wanted a very big perimeter because it ended up being nipple to knee shaved. And then red Mercurochrome all over me. So I was like pink and soft, like a baby. And I was still happy though. I was in a good mood. But I thought, I'm not gonna have probably a chance to have a cigarette for a couple of hours if I'm going into surgery. So I get my cigarettes and I go down to the smoking lounge because every floor had one at the hospital. And while I'm enjoying my second cigarette on the payphone with a friend, I hear paged on the PA system, would Kevin Gallagher please report to the OR on the third floor? I guess you're supposed to tell people when you leave. But the surgery didn't go very well. When he got me opened, it ruptured, and there's not much they can do, so they just sort of close you up. And the doctor explained, Kevin, the body is a miraculous machine, and your body will galvanize the infection and pull it all together, and then will push it out of the body. It's like a zit? And he goes, yeah, kind of like a zit. I'm like, okay. So the next week was pretty rough. I will say that. I was not in very good shape. But that did not stop the next visitor from coming the day after my surgery, and I'm going to call her the nurse of with great expectations, because she said, we need to get you to urinate today, otherwise we're going to have to give you a catheter. And I grabbed her uniform, and I said, I am never having a catheter. Do you understand? My penis is for things going out, not things going in. I said, are we clear? And she said, well, let's make you as uncomfortable as possible. So she brings back a gallon of water. I drink it. It's really heavy in my stomach. That seemed to help my bladder. And so I go into the bathroom with my pole and my saline bag. And the immense amount of concentration, like more than I did for 4 years at Tufts. Like, to get a message from here to my waist seemed impossible to do. And just as I was about to pee, how are we doing in there? And I said, you gotta get out of here. Like, you can't be hovering. Like, this is hard work in here. But I voided, which I was pleased with, and then got into bed, and I swear to God, her sister came in and said, if you don't have a bowel movement today, we're gonna have to give you an enema. And I said, what is it? I said, do you people know I'm very sick? Like, I'm very, very sick, and I haven't even eaten much, and I don't plan on eating today. Like, can't we just put this off for a couple of days? No. So I said, well, the last nurse said, you know, well, we'll make you uncomfortable. Can you make me uncomfortable in some way? So she went and she found a fruit basket that had clearly passed the expiration date. So I ate all the brown bananas and the mushy pears and the apples, and then I could check that box off my list. But I did get better enough to go home. And at home, I had that opportunity to really think about the value of a sentence, "I'm sure I'll be fine, don't worry about it." Because that sentence cost me $20,000. Yeah, yeah. And fortunately, though, I had a good job. I was making $3.35 an hour, taking home $108 a week. So you know I got rid of that debt fast, very fast. You know, in the 4 decades since then, I have come to really appreciate my mother's skepticism about my brilliance. But in the 6 decades I've been alive, I've sort of come to think that maturity and intelligence comes more from the visitors, from the challenges and obstacles, than it does from diplomas and certificates. Thanks.
Kevin Gallagher is a psychotherapist by day, listening to the stories of life. But in the evenings, he freelances as a storyteller, battling the curse of the Irish, the gift of gab, and the misery of insecurity. He lives in Vermont and is blessed with a cat and a partner, Michael and Blossom. You figure out who is who. They provide much of the laundry and housework that completes his fulfilling life. Kevin has been a Moth Grand Slam champion twice and is the co-founder of Say It Forward Productions, linking nonprofits and storytelling for fundraising and community empowerment. Thank you.
If you want to know more about today's storyteller, well, you're in luck. Let's join our host backstage now in conversation with today's teller.
So what's your most favorite or least favorite thing about Maine?
So my, well, I feel bad because this is, I mean, I guess it's about Maine, but like the ocean, because we don't have an ocean in Vermont. And so once I go across the bridge and I sort of think like I'm in Maine and look at the ocean, whenever I start seeing it, I get really, really, really excited.
Who would you most like to share the stage with?
Wow. Wow, I'm going to really kind of struggle here for a second. I've never thought of that. David Sedaris. But I also was thinking Cyndi Lauper. I don't know why, but that she did come to mind right away.
I don't know if David Sedaris will be excited to hear that. Do you listen to yourself after you've told a story? Why or why not?
Well, I think it's a good idea if you do, because you should probably like listen to improve yourself. But I don't know if you're like me, that sort of, I was happy to get rid of voicemail, the machines in your house, because like have listened to myself is just like really, really painful. So I actually sometimes would rather watch and listen, because then I'm not as annoyed with my voice. But when I listen, so I do, but it happens after pain and agony.
Okay, our last question. Tell us some nugget or detail that is connected to your story that won't be in the story tonight or that didn't make it.
Okay. Much to my sister's chagrin, at the end of the story, which I don't have time for in the story, at the end of the story, I have this like gaping open pussy wound that my mother looked at and started gagging, which shocked me because I thought mothers can do everything like vomit and poop, and she went, oh, oh, oh. And my sister, my little sister, came in and helped clean it up. And so I told my sister, I said, "I'm telling the appendix story, but you're not in it." And so now I get to put her in it by putting this part in.
See, there you go. Thank you so much.
Soundbites is brought to you by Frontier Studios and made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing Company, Frontier, The Press Hotel, Toad & Co., and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to GWI and Downey's Pension Services. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, can be found online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org. Thanks for listening.